part one of the Buzz Bubble with Nick Law, Chief Creative Officer of RGA. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
Hi, I'm Kevin Kelly, and thanks again for tuning into the Buzz Bubble, where we pick the brains of great minds in advertising. This week, we get into the head of Nick Law, Chief Creative Officer at RGA New York. Nick and I talk about the new agency model and share the experience in moving from a production company that made spectacular websites to a strategically integrated leader and digital agency of the decade. We discuss RGA's philosophy of the symbiotic relationship between platforms and campaigns. From their innovative Nike Plus and Nike head-to-head platforms to the interactive outdoor campaign of the decade in Times Square for Verizon. Lastly, we get to know Nick in the Buzz Round and find out who he would most like to interview. Join me as we climb into the Buzz Bubble and examine the brain of Nick Law right now. All right, so Nick, thanks for climbing into the Buzz Bubble today and taking a little time to have some fun. Let's start with a little about how you got into the business, when you got into the business, and how you ended up here.
Well, I started off as a graphic designer. And in high school, I could draw. And I think a friend of mine had a father who was a commercial artist, is what they called them. And after school one day, I went and checked out what he did, and it seemed like you could actually make a living coloring in. So that's the path I went down. Yeah. And then I went from being a graphic designer in Sydney, and then moving to London, doing the same thing there, working at Pentagram, and then I in the like early 90s moved to advertising. Worked at a place called DNBNB.
Still in the UK.
In the UK, yeah. And then from there I came to, in 94 I came to New York, worked at a branding company, then an advertising agency, and then I moved into digital. I don't know when that was. I started at RGA 2001.
So you're digital at another location?
Yeah,
here, really?
I had a startup that was called businessmodel.com, which is sort of funny.
.com was officially in the name?
It was, but they actually didn't have a business model because they don't exist anymore.
Everybody had a napkin and said, hey, how about some seed money for my idea?
Yeah, exactly.
Napkin?
That was the world. Yeah.
That was a different world back then.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a 10-year anniversary coming up here.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, can you believe it? Who would have thought?
And so what, if you could describe the Nick Law of 10 years ago and the RGA of 10 years ago compared to what's going on today?
10 years ago, RGA was design website. You know, we were more like a digital boutique than an agency, which is what we are now.
Right.
And people came to RGA to get websites done, and we designed beautiful websites that were systematically very sound, had great technology, were sort of architected in a way that made sense, and looked really shiny.
Right.
And we were like the best at doing that stuff. And at the time, that world was very separate from the marketing world.
Right.
And we didn't really, be careful you didn't fall. We didn't really rub shoulders a lot with my old colleagues in the advertising world.
Right.
But from then to now, those worlds have sort of collided. And
we saw the same thing at Big Buzz.
I
called it, we were a construction company. You give us your stuff, and we would call the ad agency just to say, send it over. And we'd, like you said, we'd build really shiny, nice.
Yeah.
But we weren't so integrated into the strategy.
There was a siloed world. And, you know, even when I, before the web, when I was working first in design and in identity, and then in advertising, that move from the design and identity world to the advertising world was a move into another world, into a different silo that only ever had very tenuous contact. And two worlds that didn't really understand each other. The designers thought that advertisers didn't understand craft and that you would design a logo and then the advertising company would figure out a way to fuck it up. They'd reverse that out of the wrong color, or they'd make it too big, or they wouldn't lock up the type right. And then on the advertising side, they didn't even think about designers. They thought they were just stylists off doing magazines and shit. So the world's never that, and so that was sort of replicated at the beginning of the sort of the digital sort of revolution. But it was not sustainable because what the sort of digital world represented at its core was a networking of everything. That's what the web is. It's a network. And a network, just by its nature, brings things together and makes a larger whole. And unless you have a vision of a larger whole, then it's hard to work within the network. And so I think that's what's happened now. And what we've all realized is that you can't just be one thing. Or you can't be one thing and sort of and advise a brand. You can be one thing and be a specialist and a vendor. You can become a boutique, a narrative boutique, a design boutique, a development boutique. But to own and have an opinion about a brand, you need to bring it on to them. So the difference is that, you know, it was a very singular aptitude, discipline shop. And when we designed, created, when we hired creators back then, you know, I would know if they were good enough to work at RGA if I saw how they designed the homepage of the last site they did. Right. Now, I might be hiring a traditional copywriter if I'm looking at TV, or I might be designing a designer who's going to work at the brand groups. I'm looking at identity systems, or I could be hiring an interaction designer who's worked in digital products. So I want to see how they handle applications, or a mobile specialist, or a, you know, it goes on and on and on. Right. We have so many aptitudes that have to fit into this larger whole that my role has changed from being a creative director to like a creative curator.
Right.
Yeah, it's very different.
Now, when you see, you say you look at the talent and you could decide from a homepage before, and now you're looking for more diverse talents. Do you see, because everything is moving towards integration, but so if someone's a really talented copywriter, do you see they have a sense for the rest of the big picture and that's what makes the great copywriters, or there's still folks that's like, wow, great copy, but I don't know if they get the whole 360 of this.
I think that, you know, the classic description of creative as a sort of T-shape, right, where the cross-stroke is your sort of literacy across creative worlds. And the downstroke is your depth in the craft. I think it's still true that you need that depth of craft. And at the beginning of the sort of the interactive world, you found a lot of people that were not brilliant designers, were not great writers. They knew a little bit of HTML. They were generalists. It was like it was a world for people that could sit in front of their computer all night, program, design, pour in content, eat Pop-Tarts and come out the end with something sort of like it. And that world's gone now.
Yeah,
and
we
actually ask for a depth of discipline now that we didn't before. So our designers are better designers and typographers. Our writers are more lucid and they know how to write for marketing. So what we have now is a collection of aptitudes of lots of very deep downstrokes. And what the crossstroke becomes is this sort of connecting point so that we understand what everyone else does, but we aren't necessarily good at it.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And I think that for creative people, that's the hardest thing in the world, because typically creative people think that once they're good at one sort of creativity, they're good at everything. It's the Michael Jordan thing, right? I'm good at basketball. I should be able to play baseball, right? Why not? I'm a world-class athlete. Everyone tells I am. So I think this happens with creatives too, where they think, oh, well, now that I've directed a commercial, I can do a movie. Or now that you know, I've been in the traditional world for this long, now I'm just going to bring my big ideas to digital. And even incremental changes are a challenge from a craft point of view, but the literacy needs to be there. So what you should be asking from creatives now is not to give up that depth, but to understand who they're going to be working with and how they're going to work with them. And respecting other crafts and knowing when they should lead and when you should lead. So it's a cultural sort of adjustment from an industry, as in advertising, which is a pyramid of a copyright and art director that tell everyone else what to do. And that doesn't work anymore.
So. Right. The culture here, have you seen that change from, I'm sure that the vision of the culture and what you portray as an agency, but how about physical movement? I hear so much more about agencies saying, well, we used to have planning and art and production, but we kind of like put them, you know, have you guys changed positioning people, or how has the culture changed?
I mean, from a process point of view, accommodating all of these different aptitudes has become more of a sort of matrixed environment. So, you know, although we have departments around disciplines, we organize around clients and they're sort of, it's a bespoke team depending on what we need to do for that client. So it's a, but generally, you know, from a creative point of view, it's a mix of interaction, design, visual design, and copywriting. But you could have any of those aptitudes working in the mobile space, or in the social space, or in applications, or in traditional advertising. But there's three core disciplines that express themselves in different ways. But you know, the one thing that hasn't changed, and I think that hasn't changed since Bob started RGA in 1977, is it's always been a place that's about art and science. So, and that in 1977, that was a curiosity, and it meant that they did the nice, swooshy Superman titles that was technically brilliant but also beautiful. But now it's like an essential thing. So in that way, Bob is either an incredible visionary or incredibly lucky. Because that very thing that defined RGA in 1977 is a thing that makes that everyone should be aspiring to, you know, now.
That's it for part one of the Buzz Bubble with Nick Law. Take a look at what's coming up on part two.
The new world, the sort of Silicon Valley world, where you create platforms and you create systems and you invent media. That's the production is creative.
Yeah.
So that your relationship with the making is very different.